Well, hello there, and welcome to another The One Liner podcast, the last from the Edinburgh International Film Festival. Apologies for the slight delay. Turns out this year's festival didn't so much end with a bang as just sort of peter out and finish. I'm Scott Morris, with me is Drew Tavendale.
Clear.
Two films to get through today, so let's dive straight in with the Argentinian The Secret in Their Eyes, in which a retired federal justice, Benjamin Esposito, is writing a novel based on some of his old casework, a particularly horrendous rape and murder where the perpetrator was caught but then released later on. There's two main threads running through the film: the investigation of the crime, the fallout from it, and the effects that it has on the people that work for it, and also a unspoken, or at least skirted around, love between Benjamin and his boss, the slightly oddly named Irene Menendez Hastings, which is one of the most unexpected surnames in a film in this year's festival, I think. It is a very enjoyable film, although you might have already guessed that by the fact that it has already, in fact, won an Oscar, which I think is actually cheating for inclusion in a film festival, if it's already been recognised that highly. Not quite sure why it's being shown in the festival, but regardless, it is a very good and very enjoyable crime, or if you go by the IMDb genres, a very enjoyable crime, drama, mystery, romance thriller. But I can't actually fault it. It does have pretty decent elements of all those genres. It's very well shot. It's very well acted. The story's pretty interesting. If I'm being honest, the only thing that I was a little perturbed by was some pretty shoddy effects makeup for aging people, which wasn't exactly convincing, but I'm very much nitpicking there. Otherwise, I very much enjoyed the film. Drew, do you have anything to add to that?
Very much enjoyed as well. The makeup didn't bother me at all. It's just a fairly solid police procedural, but it's nicely shot, it's very well acted. I thought perhaps it's about a 2-hour film, and for around the hour 15 to hour and three quarter mark, that sort of half hour, I felt it dragged a little.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fairly minor point. It's unusual in Oscars winning films of late in that it's actually very good.
Yeah.
Which sets it aside altogether. Probably the foreign language Oscar the last few years has been one of the very few Oscars that's been deservedly awarded.
It's only sane one, isn't it?
Yeah. But yeah, it does feel like a bit of a cheat for this to be in the film festival. I'm glad it is, though. Prompted me to see it rather than waiting until it might not ever get a proper release in Britain. You never know.
Yeah, according to IMDb, it's saying it should be getting a release. I don't know how widespread, on the 13th of August. It will definitely be worth having checking out when it appears, if you can get to a cinema that's showing it.
The other thing that's quite pleasing too is it is from the director and the same star as Son of the Bride from 8 years ago, which I remember very fondly. I remember very much liking, and I can see the DVD of that sitting on my shelf right in front of me just now. Buggered if I can remember what it was about, though.
I think it was about this guy, and there was someone getting married, and he was the son of the bride.
Yeah, I think you're probably right there. You probably could argue with that. I can't remember much more than him and liking it, and his dad having a white beard, and his mum, and I don't know, renewing the wedding vows or something like that for their wedding anniversary. The point being, though, it was very well shot, it was well acted, well directed, and same director, same star, which is, it's good to see that it's still keeping up the standards. So if you have seen Son of the Bride, then this would be another reason to check this out. I don't have a lot more to say. I'm not really well prepared for this one, but it's a very good film, which I was almost expecting it not to be, simply because of the Oscar thing. Because again, outside of this category, they've been so wrong for so many years now.
Yeah.
But it's quite pleasing. It's a very good film. Go and see it.
Fair enough. I do hear that if you want to whistle, you whistle. Is that correct?
Yes, although I'm not quite sure what the name of this Romanian film has to do with the contents of it. But I'll tell you a little about it. It's the story of Silviu, who's an inmate at a young offenders institute. In the last 2 weeks of incarceration before his release, Silviu's mother, who either physically or emotionally has been absent for most of his life, turns up out of the blue with a plan to take his younger brother, who Silviu has, well, when he's not been in prison, has more or less raised, away with her to Italy. She plans to leave before her sentence is complete, and when Silviu fails to get anyone to allow him a pass or any sort of opportunity to contact her to attempt to stop her taking away his brother, he takes drastic measures and his 4 years of good behaviour are threatened in his final fortnight. That is perhaps not the most exhilarating sounding setup, but could it be worth a watch? Well, first I guess let's address the positives. George Pistriano, who plays Silviu, has a rawness and naivety as well as a physicality that make him watchable and believable as a troubled and angry youth. Well, so much for the positives. I'm afraid all the rest is negative. The director spent 18 months developing Catalin Mitulescu's script and preparing for shooting, and I can only assume that for most of that 18 months he was playing Tetris. Because everything about this film screams acting workshop, shot in a day. Or with perhaps slightly better photography you might get if you were doing such an exercise. But everything else about it, the story, the acting, the direction, it feels like that. Its two biggest problems are that Silvio's actions make so little sense. It feels like the one strong idea in the script was the lead character's violent implosion. You know, that was their hook, that's what they're going for. Everything before and after has just been fitted in around it, and it just doesn't hold together. We're given very, very little of Silvio's history and know absolutely nothing of why he's in prison. So we can't really know whether he's there for something violent or just falling into the wrong crowd, that sort of thing, or what it is at all. You've no idea. But you do learn a little of his character from snippets you learn about his past. That he's had good behaviour consistently throughout his sentence, that he loves his younger brother, that his mother's parenting was decidedly subpar. All of those things lend him sympathy, which is taken away in an instant when he does something both violent and stupid. And the problem here is that this act makes no sense. Perhaps if his actions had truly seemed like a last resort, and he was really, really desperate, he would still have our sympathies. But his attempts to get access to his family are a couple of really half-hearted attempts, including one plea to the prison warden to be allowed a day pass so he can go and intercept his mother. And so desperate is he to see his younger brother that when the warden asks why he so badly wants to get, he answers, walks away. Because he was really trying hard there, wasn't he?
Well, he convinced me.
Again, it just feels like the director is just killing time until he gets to the main set piece. And this brings us to the second, and probably the most important problem. The film has absolutely no point, no message, no merit. The set piece happens, and then it all sort of peters out after that, and has nothing to say. There's no interesting or compelling storyline. Likewise, there's no interesting characters, and I'm fine with there being absolutely no point to story if the characters are interesting, but it's not the case here. It isn't a film that's got an agenda, it has nothing interesting to say about society. Well, it's not even that it's nothing interesting to say about society or juvenile crime or anything. It's just got nothing to say at all, interesting or otherwise. It's just utterly, utterly pointless, so not one to seek out, I would say.
But I thought this was proof that Romanian cinema was going from strength to strength. According to the brochure, anyway. I mean, I'm probably showing my ignorance here. I'm not sure I've seen any other Romanian cinema in the last couple of years. So on that basis, going from nothing to anything is probably good, but, you know.
Yes, I do actually have a couple of the films mentioned here, The Death of Mr. Lazarescu and 4 months, 3 weeks and 2 days. I've not got around to watching them yet, because what's the point of having DVDs if you watch them? That would be crazy.
Yeah, it's madness. We're not going to stand for that.
I can't give you an informed opinion on whether this is representative of Romanian cinema or not, but I can tell you, though, categorically, it's not any good.
Fair stuff. Well, we've all been to a few of these rodeos by this point. How do you feel this year's Edinburgh Festival tallied up to the previous years?
I was thinking this during the week. It's not be as good. I don't know, there just didn't seem the same buzz around it this year. I don't know if that was just me or not. But there's definitely been fewer films, whether that's something to do with it or not. But the general level of films, I think, hasn't been quite as high. There have been less spectacularly shit films, which I guess is a good thing, but there just don't seem to be been quite as many outstanding ones either.
I agree, it's definitely been a bit lackluster, at least in as much as there's, well, a third less films or something that we seem to have got this year, and quite a lot of the ones that were there seemed a bit iffy. However, I can't complain too badly about something that's given me at least two films that will probably be on my top 10 films of the year list, and a pretty decent number of sort of credible mentions that I enjoyed. I've only seen one absolute stinker, so I suppose I could, in most metrics, say that it's probably been a better year in terms of quality, but it just feels a bit less exciting. Maybe we're just getting old and jaded, I don't know. It doesn't seem to have discovered too much new stuff here. It all seems, the things that are liked for the most part were things that were fairly obvious or big budget anyway that we're probably going to get a fairly widespread release. There's not been too many kind of the sort of hidden gems there.
You get a film with Robert Duvall and Bill Murray, you're probably expecting that to be good. where yeah. it was last year seeing a stop-motion animated film from Australia distinctly for adults. I don't think I would have found that otherwise.
Yeah.
It feels rather like the range has been compressed. As I said, there aren't the same highs, the absolute highs, but there definitely haven't been the same lows either.
True.
It does feel a bit lackluster, but I'm not quite sure I'd be entirely justified in saying that.
Perhaps a symbol of the global credit crunch crisis, etc. I believe that there was always a panic in funding the kind of independent films that typically show up at festivals. Whether we're just seeing the tail end of that and hopefully it'll be better next year, we don't know.
I certainly hope so. Although, I mean, there certainly have still been some good films there. And before we move on to our own picks of the festival, we were going to talk about the jury's picks. Although, having looked at the list, I'm in a strange position of not having seen a single film they've picked, I think, this year. Although, Scott, I do know you did see the film that got awarded the Michael Powell Award for Best New British Feature Film. Would you say that was merited?
So the Michael Powell Award is the Best New British Feature. It went to Skeletons by Nick Whitfield, and it was a very enjoyable film. It was innovative and quite entertaining, so it's a very good film to have picked it. I've seen a number of the other films on here, and those films that I have seen were dreadful. So whether it's won by simply nature of being the least bad of them all, I'm not sure. There is one film on this list that was up for the New British Feature Film Award that was easily my worst film of the year, and one that was probably the runner-up to it.
That was Brilliant Love, was it?
Yeah, and we've got a few other... There's other ones here that were at least competent, I believe. I enjoyed The Kid, but it's nothing particularly new and innovative there, but it's a good film. Skeletons is a worthy winner of that award, certainly compared to some of the things that I've seen in the past. I have no issues with that award.
Well, I would say that, again, I've not seen Skeletons, so I can compare it, but what for me was comfortably the best British feature film was Third Star.
Yeah, Third Star's not in...
Yeah, which is weird. I know it's technically come out somewhere before, so that's why it doesn't count. But it should have been on there. Having not seen Mr. Nice, I can't say what I thought David Thewlis's performance was best in the British feature. But again, from Third Star, I would have picked Benedict Cumberbatch. Rather odd position this year, having seen so few of the films that actually got the awards.
No, I mean, to be honest, I can't even comment on the rest of it. The only other thing that I can say is when you're talking about the Best Feature Documentary Award,
and Restrepo doesn't get it.
And Restrepo doesn't get it. There is something, I would say, slightly crazy about that award. Yeah, so I've not seen The Oath, I can't comment on that too much. However, from the descriptions I've read, it seems a lot more like anecdotes presented as data, whereas Restrepo was a simple observation of what it's like on the ground in Afghanistan, and it was the most powerful thing I've seen in cinema in ages, and I cannot imagine The Oath being better than that. But if nothing else, I suppose I now have to check it out, The Oath, just to make sure that that is indeed the case.
And the Standard Life Audience Award went this year, very pleasingly, given by the partly very discerning EIFF audience, to the quite frankly superb Get Low. So well done, you get to live, audience.
Yes, you've passed this test, which I guess leads into what we thought was the best and worst of the festival, because yeah, I'm not sure how I'd be able to pick between Get Low and Restrepo as my films of the year in terms of the festival. Both very good films, obviously both very different films, but Get Low, of course, is a powerhouse acting performance. Restrepo is just a very powerful experience to watch. So they'd probably be my two picks. It's certainly well worth seeing those two. I guess we'll talk about honourable mentions later, but what would your best be?
Well, having not seen Restrepo, which I would very much like to see now, having heard what you said about it and the praise you're giving it, my best of the fest has to be, I think, Get Low.
Mm-hmm.
It's a well-made film. The acting's excellent. It's funny in places. It's touching in others. It's just a great film. Although I would say that Third Star wasn't that far behind it, just because it's got such a strong ensemble performance, although the film as a whole isn't as complete as Get Low is.
Mm-hmm.
But the acting in that is very, very powerful.
I suppose my stalking horses for the slightly more obscure picks for this would probably come with, let's say, Obsolidia. I thought was, again, fairly unique, very intelligent film and very enjoyable. That's worth getting a hold of if you can. And perhaps Snowman's Land would not be too far behind it. That's another very enjoyable film, what was on this year. Any favourites that you might not have mentioned so far? I suppose I should also mention The Illusionist, which I can almost barely remember. It was so long ago.
So many films ago anyway, isn't it?
Yes.
The Illusionist is very far up my list too. It's charming, it's beautifully animated, it's touching and funny, very melancholy, but I don't always find that a bad thing in a film. That's certainly one of my picks with The Illusionist. Other things, Obsidia, as you mentioned, beautifully shot film, very interesting, very different. My Miracle, really not that great a film, but certainly because it's Japanese animation that you might actually get a chance to see in a British cinema, which just makes it worse as far as I'm concerned. As we were talking about in our last podcast, I really could not say it was good, not in any way, shape or form. But I think if you like David Lynch and Werner Herzog, you'd probably get a fair bit of My Son, What Have You Done, even though it's barking. Yeah, those are my picks, the ones to bother getting out of bed for.
And the worsts, what do you hate?
Oh, there are a couple. Northless and the one I've just talked about, If I Want to Whistle, I Whistle, that just, they've had very little, they've just been not very interesting. But there's only been one film I've seen that's actively bad, and it's not as bad as I suspect Brilliant Love was, which you saw, Scott, or as any of the stuff I've seen in the last couple of years. There's nothing to say Antichrist terrible, but the one low point for me was Cigarette Girl, but it wasn't sort of pretentiously bad or sort of actively hatefully bad. It was just altogether shit, so I can't get myself too worked up about it. It just wasn't any good, but I have no particular vitriol to direct toward it.
I suppose the British, all three of my least favourite films were British, which perhaps says something. Cherry Tree Lane just wasn't thrilling or chilling. It was a very dull film. And sadly, as we discussed, Jack Boots on Whitehall, I really wanted to love that film. It's a good idea and it's a good style, but it just wasn't funny enough to maintain 15 minutes, let alone 98 minutes. So those two were disappointing. Brilliant Love, I was kind of expecting to suck as I went into it, to be honest with you, but it managed to take my expectations and confound them by being so bad, so dreadful, that it almost became enjoyable again, just hating it so much. Dreadful, dreadful, pretentious, nonsense, horrendous, horrible, horrible film. Yeah, do not touch with barge pole.
You mentioned Jack Boots in Whitehall. When I wrote my review of that, I swithered and whether to give that one or two stars, and I thought one was too harsh. I gave it to something on the basis of it's funny for about 10 minutes, but it's only funny for 10 minutes, and then there's another 90 minutes of terribleness,
yeah.
Which is really quite disappointing. I really did want to like it from the start. I thought, this is interesting, this is different, I like the way it looks. It ran out of steam so very quickly. The other thing is, it's been a surprisingly good year at this festival for American comedies. I am still haunted by the memory of the particularly awful Harmony and Me, as I know you are, Scott. But this year I've seen a few, Chase the Slut, World's Greatest Dad, Barry Mundy, and Get Low. I'll Get Low less of a comedy than those others, but still, I'm quite pleased that that's the case. I was worried there, because I seem to have had a bad run of American films of late. It seems to be much more successful this year.
I guess for all my complaining and whining about it, it's not been too bad a year for this year's Edinburgh Film Festival. We've seen a decent number of pretty good films, and we hope that you have too. We will be taking a well-deserved break from films for a couple of weeks, I think, but we will soon be back with one of our regularly scheduled podcasts with some more mainstream films for you, perhaps. Until that time, I will bid you adieu. I have been Scott Morris, and Drew Tamdale is over there, still being Drew Tamdale.
Of Peter Zinn.
So we will speak to you again soon. Ta-ra!